All right, everybody, welcome to Take the Word for It. My name's Pat Lynn, and as always, I'm joined here with my co-host and good friend, Isaac Johnson, and this is the place where we talk about taking the difficult things that are going on in life and putting them in the perspective of the Word, and then try to give you some practical tools to help you move forward as you're, you know, on the mission with the Lord and just living your everyday life. Isaac, my friend, how are you this morning?
Besides a little bit of a head cold, I'm doing all right.
Oh, that's awesome. Your week was good? Any you know, whale watching or anything cool like that up there in Alaska?
Not this week. Mostly just enjoying watching the rest of the snow melt. And then the problem with spring coming in Alaska is all your excuses go with it. So now I actually have to... can't say, oh, there's too much snow, now I have to actually do stuff. So that's the part that's a little struggle.
But good stuff. You know, that spring cleaning time comes around for everybody. We've been on it at our place. But anyhow, this season we've been spending the entire season talking about marriage and biblical perspective on marriage, and then trying to give people tools in terms of, you know, those tough times that come in every marriage. And I'm sure thankful for your wisdom as we've been walking through this, as you've spent much of your career as a marriage and family counselor and therapist. And today we're going to talk, so we have two episodes left on marriage, and then actually this fall we're putting together right now a marriage conference that'll be hosted right here in Sequim, and you'll be coming down with your beautiful wife and joining us. And super excited about that. But today we're talking about one, man, this is spicy, dude, because here's the truth. Like, every marriage, I think, has, you know, bumps and bruises when it comes to integrating families in terms of in-laws on both sides, you know, how you get along with your in-laws, how you protect yourself from your relationship with your in-laws. All of those kind of deals. And so today we're going to be talking about that. Next week, we'll actually be talking about processing divorce, you know, and it's not something that, you know, we want to see in any marriage. It's not something the Bible approves of, but certainly sometimes it happens and there are reasons to get a divorce. And so we'll be talking about that in our next episode to close out the season. But today, the title is In-Laws or Outlaws. Wow. You know, it just, I don't know any couple that, you know, on one end or the other hasn't had issues with, you know, with the in-laws, or even your own parents. It could just be your own parents. It doesn't have to be the in-laws. Maybe your parents are the ones that are, you know, causing the issues in your marriage. But man, do you have any personal examples of, you know, from your life, how's your relationship with your in-laws affected your marriage?
Overall, pretty well. I get along with, I mean, I work for my father-in-law, so I gotta keep that
one
good.
I don't want to say anything bad on here because you wouldn't want to get fired tomorrow.
Right. No, nothing I haven't already said to him. But I think just the differences in styles of parenting. But the biggest thing that I noticed was when I didn't have brothers growing up. And so I was excited that when I married my wife, she had two brothers. And I think my expectation was is that we're going to be great friends. We're going to go do things together. We're going to do all the things that brothers do, and we never have, and we never will. And that's not because they're bad guys. We just have such different personalities. They're very much into tech stuff, computers, things like that. I'm like the outdoors. They see it once in a while on the Nature Channel.
Sure.
We're just so different, and we can have a great conversation. We can take, you know, enjoy each other's company for short periods, but it's just never going to be what I hoped it was going to be. And I think it took me a while to accept that. And I think I was even a little resentful of that. You know, and then the other part, the good part is I have some brother-in-laws that married into my own family, with my sisters. and that I get along with great, and we just have more in common. Again, it's not about good guys, bad guys, but just, I think I just kind of thought we would all have more in common, or they would just want to include me quicker, and that has been an emotional struggle to work through.
Sure. And, you know, and maybe there's some cases out there where, you know, marrying into the family you married into has been like a huge blessing for you. And I think that is the case for me. You know, my father-in-law is one of my best friends, and I love hanging out with him, and he's super outdoorsy and going to do things. But there's always the dynamics of learning how to incorporate yourself into, you know, your in-laws' family when you join with a wife or a husband, if you're a woman, you know, and you join together in marriage. One of the things you have to figure out is, how are we going to do our relationships with our, I'm missing the word here right now. What am I thinking of? You know, the family you came from. What's that called, Isaac?
Help me. Family of origin?
Yeah, with your family of origin. You have to figure out how are those going to work? How are holidays going to work? How are, you know, all of these kind of different things. And sometimes, you know, that can turn out to be just a little bit tricky. But I think, you know, there are probably some couples out there that are really struggling with this, because your family of origin could have huge issues in it. And maybe it's a problem for you personally. Like, hey, you don't want to be, you know, with them or whatever. And so, you know, what the Bible says about this. And to be truthful, the Bible doesn't say a ton, you know, on the issue. It does say this, though. Genesis 2:22-24, it says, then the God made a woman. This is right in the creation account right here, and it's talking about when God made Adam and Eve, and God looks around and notices that Adam doesn't have a suitable partner, and so he goes to create him one right out of Adam's rib. He says, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken from or out of man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, Isaac, can you flesh that verse out for me, pun intended right there? Like, what's the significance of the two of them being joined together as one?
Well, it's the idea that they're both leaving their family of origin. And back in biblical times, it wasn't uncommon to leave your family of origin and never see them again. So you chose to be with this new person, and you creating a whole new family line. There's that first two things. There's leaving, and that's what a lot of people struggle to do, is how do you leave your family of origin? That doesn't mean you have to ignore them, but to emotionally untangle yourself. And then cleave, how do you begin to make this new person and this new family unit your priority? So there's two things there that are really hard for people to do, that do not come naturally.
Yeah. And I think it even becomes more complicated in today's world. You know, like you said, in the biblical world, Mary and Joseph get married and leave, and guess what? They move to a new town. You may never actually see your relatives again, because there isn't the internet. There isn't, you know, Zoom calls. You can't get on a plane and go see them. You know, you're walking. You're going with the donkey to get where you're going. You don't have a car. You're not driving there. There is no postal service, so you're not sending a mail. You know, keeping contact. You know, and even up to when people came to the new world, quote unquote. You know, the pilgrims and such. They came over. You know, all the way up until modern times. Good possibility you're never actually seeing your family again. And so today that makes it so much more complicated, because we get married and our families, every experience is different, but you have the opportunity to keep relationship and stay tied together, through the modern things that we have. And that could make your relationship much more complicated. So there's a couple of spots in the Bible that do talk about, you know, parents or in-laws, and really not a whole lot more. One of them is a great example, and it's a super positive example. Moses has taken the captives out of Egypt. He's brought the people of Israel out of Egypt into the desert. And in Exodus 18, he's out and he's judging the things that are going on for the day. And his father-in-law Jethro lets him know that he's coming for a visit. Jethro comes for the visit. He's welcomed to be in the place. It seems like it's good for them to see him. And then Jethro notices what Moses is doing and taking all day to judge every single issue that's going on between people. He's literally sitting in a place of judgment. There's a huge line of the people of Israel. And at this point in time, there's probably, you know, some estimates between 1 million and 2 million people in the people of Israel as they left Egypt. And Moses is judging every dispute. And Jethro comes to him and says, hey, what you're doing is not great. This isn't efficient. You're going to wear yourself out. And we actually see Jethro set up a system, and the first system in Israel for having leaders of groups and judges over different numbers of groups in the people of Israel. And Jethro, what he does is he brings some wisdom into the situation, and Moses accepts the wisdom. So there's a piece there where Moses is, you know, honoring his father-in-law and listening to him. The other one that was significant for me as I'm thinking about this, and honestly slightly confusing as I'm trying to figure out, you know, the core of how I protect my family, is Jesus on the cross. And it says one of the things that Jesus said when he was on the cross in John 19, he sees his mother, and he sees, it says, the disciple that he loved, which is his brother James. And he says, woman, here's your son, to that disciple. And he says to the disciple, here's your mother. And then it says, from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, like, there can be nothing more destructive, I think, and sometimes for marriage than bringing your parent into your home. It can be really, really hard. But in a lot of cultures, you see families that live together all the way through. You've got generations of families in the same home. So let me just ask you this question, Isaac. If marriage is supposed to be, you know, this joyful union where two families are joined together, why do so many families struggle with their in-laws?
Well, I think there's just three main reasons. And the first one is just unrealistic expectations. What we're hoping for, like I was hoping for brothers and didn't get it, or you want sisters, or I had one guy where he wanted, you know, he was thinking, he grew up with a mom and dad who were very conflicted, and he liked his mom, his wife's family a lot more. And he thought, all right, they're going to become like my mentors. They're going to become my my new parents. And it just didn't work out that way. So the first step is I think we just have to have, you know, we go into it with hoping for things and then getting disappointed when those things don't materialize with our in-laws, whether we're wanting a sibling or a parent or a parental figure of some kind. The second thing is just we're naturally cliquish people. As human beings, and this goes back to junior high when you first had your experiences, and so the other thing I tell people a lot of times is when you get married, just expect it could take years to break into this new family you're marrying into, for them to accept you, for you to understand the rituals, the unspoken rules, all those things. So give yourself a lot of time to do that, so people just don't recognize just how cliquish we really are. And then the last thing is rarely do we feel like someone is good enough for our child, our brother, our sister. We're actually pretty possessive in our family of origin. And you see this a lot where it's like, I can pick on my sister, but you better not. You know, I could talk horribly to my parents, but you better not. So it's interesting when we get married and then our spouse says something about our family, or we say something about their family and it erupts into these conflicts, or we just think, like, as a parent giving my child away, maybe I'm having a hard time accepting new people, like thinking that these new people are going to love them as well as I did. So we're just, whether it's healthy or not, we're very possessive creatures. And so there's that leaving and cleaving is really, really hard, because sometimes it's not you getting away from your family, it's keeping them away from you. You know, they're still trying to reel you back in with guilt or, you know, and I've told my family, like, I don't owe my family of origin anything, you know, my parents, my siblings, it's not the mafia or anything like that. And, you know, so when I get married, my loyalty shifts to my wife, and that's where my priority is. It doesn't mean that I don't care about my siblings and my parents and things. It's just, we have to recognize when we leave and cleave, when we get married, we've created a new identity and a new loyalty. And that person comes first, and that can be hard for our family of origin and our new family to accept.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Like, I mean, you want to keep relationship, right? It's not like we have to. It's not like the old days where you're never going to see them again. And certainly mm-hmm. people want to keep relationship, but you don't want it to be like, say, Christmas vacation and you're Chevy Chase and the people are at your house and it's totally uncomfortable all the time, right? So, so what, you know, what's an appropriate level of interaction then, I guess? Like, when would it extend and say, hey, my in-laws are actually intrusive on our marriage? What are some signs that I could recognize and say, okay, this is appropriate relationship? And you know what? At this point, I think you're intruding in my marriage and that's too far.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when you can see your in-laws are intruding is when they're asking you, they're using things like guilt to motivate you, like, oh, you went to their place last year, you need to do it our place now. Anytime that they're asking things of you that is either unbiblical or that is just not healthy for your marriage, you know, if they're getting in between you and your spouse in any way, shape, or form, like if my wife and I are fighting over my father-in-law, mother-in-law, my siblings, then my in-laws have become intrusive, whether they meant to or not. So I just kind of, some things that you can do to help with that is just, you got to remind yourself that the family that you are creating with your husband and your wife, that is your legal legacy. That is what your biblical legacy, and your in-laws by priority come second, you know? So there's going to be times when you're going to tick off your in-laws and you need to just say, no, this is my wife and I have chosen to do this. This is what we're going to do. And they'll adjust. And then the other thing I really encourage couples to do is try really hard. Don't be a mediator between you and your spouse or your, mm-hmm. I mean, between, you know, your spouse and your in-laws. Yeah. So if my wife has a problem with my sisters, she can go talk to them. If she has a problem with my mom, she can go talk to them because I already have my biased opinion. It's not going to be helpful. And so, you know, it's just, I think, and then the other part is too, it's the task
Hold on for one second, just on that piece. I mean, that's totally biblical. The idea that you have something between you and someone else, whereas in Matthew 17 or 18, straight up says, you know, if you got an issue with someone, go talk to them about it first.
Yep.
Right? Before you bring it to, the church, for example, in that case, it moves on to the church or a pastor or someone with an usher. Your responsibility is to go talk to them first. If they won't listen to you, it says bring a witness and then talk to them with a witness. And then if they won't bring it to you, you know, they still won't listen to you, that you're supposed to come before a pastor with them. And so there's steps in between here. And you're simply saying, hey, you know, as don't be a go-between, you know, between your spouse and siblings or other family members. Have them do the biblical thing and go talk to them first. I think that's genius. But what was the next thing you were moving on to?
And then just the last thing is, you know, just reminding yourself that it's when you get married, it's the task of your adopted family to adapt to you, not you adapting to them so much.
Sure.
And that's not a mean statement. It's not like you're being disrespectful, but it could be that, you know, they need to adapt to the way that you parent or your, you know, holiday schedules or things like that. So remember, you're committing yourself. You didn't make a commitment to your in-laws. And I think we got to remember like that. So just remind yourselves, most of the time, our in-laws aren't really the ones that are purposely intrusive. It's the way that we deal with them that allows them to be, where we don't set healthy boundaries. We don't have clear expectations of things, and we let guilt and maybe lack of communication between our spouse and ourselves keep us from being able to really tell the in-laws, hey, this is how we are, this is what we do. Like, there's things my brother-in-law and sister do that I don't necessarily like or agree with, but that's their life. And yeah. If I go over and hang out at their home, I adapt to their rules. I don't say, hey, I'm the guest, you make it all work for me. So I don't have to have a relationship with them. That's my choice. But if I do, I do it on their terms.
Let me ask you something else that's just in that piece of boundaries right there that we're talking about. Then, and this is just off the top of my head, but I know you're really good at answering those type of things. So, the Bible says not to gossip. And one thing that I know can be a real issue in families is maybe the possibility of oversharing things about your marriage with another family member.
Yes.
So you got in a fight with your husband, your spouse or something, and you're going and you're sharing that with your sister or maybe your mom and talking about it. And when you, I guess it's two questions, what would be oversharing there? What kind of things would be inclusive in oversharing, or might I look for and say, hey, you know what, I might not want to share this because it might be oversharing. And then what are some of the consequences that can happen from oversharing?
Well, you know you're oversharing when you're sharing anything that your spouse has not given you permission to share.
Wow.
So if my wife didn't say, you can put that on the family Facebook page. If she says it's cool, then we're good. But if she doesn't give me permission, I've already crossed the line.
Wow.
So
that's huge. I mean, that's so huge because that would be so easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's my wife and I have kind of rule is like, I'm not going to go talk to her family about anything that I haven't already got permission from her about, or vice versa. So that's kind of how you know you're oversharing. And then what are the consequences is, you know, if you start saying negative things within your family about an in-law, about your own family, you know, all you're doing is forcing that other person now to pick sides. And that just makes things messy. And the truth is, you're going to probably go and make up with your spouse later on in private. But now you've said all these negative things about your spouse. These other people aren't going to make up with your spouse.
Right.
Now, they've got a jilted view of your husband or wife that's not healthy, or a jilted view of your, you know, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, father-in-law. So I've had to be really careful, too, where sometimes, you know, my father-in-law and I work together. And if I get frustrated with him, I need to be careful that I don't draw my wife into that where she feels stuck in the middle. She's already got loyalties towards me, but also that's her dad.
Right.
So it's just, I think, just being really, really careful that if we're going to say something, you know, just keep it positive. If we're going to say it to the group, if you need to confide in somebody, go confide in somebody outside of the family, a counselor, a pastor, somebody who can keep your confidence. Because there's really nothing good comes from because it's like if I say to my sister, hey, I'm going to tell you this about my other sister, but don't tell anybody. That's like never going to happen. It's always going to get out. And then it becomes the secret we all know that nobody wants to admit.
Right.
You know, right. So it's really a hard rule to follow, but, my mom kind of started setting this rule and it was really good. She just said, if you're going to tell me something about one of your siblings or an in-law, it better be positive, because if it's negative, I'm going to choose not to believe it until there's overwhelming evidence.
Well,
don't tell me. So basically she's saying, don't tell me.
Yep. Sure. Okay. So chances are, if you're listening and you've, you know, had a few years, maybe a decade in your relationship with your husband or wife, You probably learned most of these things already, whether it was the hard way or you know, you had someone that was wise that gave you some of these tools ahead of time. But let's just say that you are, you know, young and looking to get married, or you're recently married, and this is a hard thing. What are some just practical steps that a young couple could take to set up healthy boundaries and protect themselves in this way?
One of the first things I tell people is just don't do it. I don't care if you have to borrow from Al-Qaeda, but do not get money involved with your in-laws in any way, shape, or form. Now, if you work for them in some form, like I work for, but he doesn't pay me, the church pays me. So I made it clear from the day one, if they give us money, it's a gift, but we do not have, there's no borrowing between the family members. Money always creates problems. And I just see it. So just make it like Dave Ramsey says, I just make it a gift. If you just give it, and how they treat it is up to them. Otherwise, have no borrowing of money on either side. The second thing is, whatever you do with as far as setting boundaries with your family, just be consistent with both sides. You know, so otherwise you're going to create favoritism without meaning to. So, like, for example, if you've got kids, whatever your expectations are with one set of grandparents, try to make sure they're the same with the other one. Unless there's the only time I say that that's different is like if you have one set of grandparents, like I had one couple where his side of the family was all drug addicts, and so they didn't have any connection with them because it was a safety issue. So if it's not a safety issue, make them consistent, you know, and try to keep the same things like we try to, if we're going to do Christmas stuff, it's about the same with both sides. Whatever we do, we try to just keep it pretty much the same. And that just keeps things respectful. And then the other part, just be invitational with your in-laws. You know, sometimes we kind of think, well, we're going to wait for them to invite us to things and stuff, but get to know them. The best thing my wife and I have done is just getting to know our brother-in-laws, our sister-in-laws, our parents from each side, having them over for dinner, getting to know them as individuals, kind of like you're saying, you hang out with your father-in-law, because then you get to know them based on your view of them, not on what you've heard through the grapevine, what your spouse has said or other people. So really, that's something a lot of times we don't do. We tend to keep people at arm's length, but just that's been really good to have them over. Connect with them. My wife is great. She'll call my mom on her own. I'll call my mother-in-law and just have a conversation with just her, getting to know them as human beings, not as so their positions don't have the weight in a negative way. And then the last thing is just praying for your in-laws, praying for your brother-in-laws, your sister-in-laws, your parents and things, just as a couple doing that, but just individually, because prayer changes you and changes them. And so, you know, we don't realize sometimes that we need to see them through the right kind of eyes, through God's eyes and not our own. And so that's something I've learned to do is just, I pray for them on a daily basis that God would just bless them, minister to them, bring to light anything that needs to come to the surface. And then the last thing is, if there's any, frustrations, uncertainties, anything like that, confront things quickly. Don't let them build over days, weeks, years, months.
That's so good. Just
confront them quickly. Go right to the source. We've had to do that where I'll go talk to my brother-in-law. I'm like, I've heard this, but I want to hear it from you. Is this really true? Is this not true? And let them be the one to say it or not say it. And so, because a lot of times, again, we get a lot of that infighting, like you said, gossip. So confront things quickly.
Yeah, Scripture says not to lay your head down on the pillow before you go and talk to somebody about something you have between them. And I think that's so good and just so valuable, you know, so valuable to get to know your in-laws for the person that they are, and not just like you said for the position, but for who they actually are. And I think you know. Some of these concepts, some of these things are so, there's a lot of meat today, so useful for dealing with relationships. I hope that's been helpful, you know, kind of a short show today, but that is the info that we have for you. And Isaac, do you have anything for the good of order? Anything else to throw out?
No, I think just reminding yourselves that again, my wife and I tell ourselves all the time, our job is to be better versions of both sides of our family. So our total commitment is to each other, to our kids, because that's the legacy we're going to leave. But it says to honor your father and mother, and I think it implies your father and mother-in-law. And so just being thoughtful of them, making sure that you treat them with respect is helpful, but not feeling like if you don't have a relationship with them, it's okay.
Right. Right. And, you know, one thing popping out here, you said, you know, to be prayerful for your family, for your in-laws. And, you know, maybe you're looking at the in-laws and saying, geez, they are wrecking my marriage or I just hate being around them kind of a deal. Maybe that's you and you need some encouragement today. And scripture says to pray for your enemies, right? And the fact that you literally heaping on burning coals on something like that, if you're being prayerful for them. And so,
mm-hmm.
so the idea that, that prayer, you know, lifting things up overcomes tons of obstacles, and it changes you, it'll change your heart, and it'll change hopefully their hearts. And so, man, we just want to lift you up in this time. If you're listening and saying, hey, this is a struggle spot for me, believing that God can change things, and hopefully some of these principles that you've heard today can help with that. So thanks for joining us today, everybody. Be blessed. Join us next week as we are going to be talking about divorce, you know, and there a lot, unfortunately, the divorce rate in America for, you know, the world and for Christians is just about the same. And so it's something that we are encountering and people have to process it. And we want to help you process that. If you have questions for us or comments about the show, you can email us at taketheword4@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and look forward to seeing you next week. Be blessed, everyone, and have a great week.